Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey folks, as you probably noticed, this show is run entirely by me and a few of my best friends. We don't have a corporate media colossus backing us with advertising or search engine crap or tech or whatever. It's just us, but none of this would happen without you. And that's why we rely on your financial support to keep the show on the air. So when you get a chance, make sure to stop by our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for at least $1 per month. You'll hardly miss it, and you'll be supporting the show in the best way possible. Don't forget to tell all your friends too. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you in advance, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Daniel bumped into me in Beverly Hills. And he said that he wanted to talk. He said that you and Roth were in on a big deal together, and that there was something in it for me if I could help him out. He said that he said that you were being tough on the negotiations, but if they could get a little help and close the deal fast, it'd be good for the family.
You believe that story?
He said there was something in it for me, on my own.
I've always taken care of you, Fredo.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother, and you take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Huh? Did you ever once think about that? Send Fredo off to do this, send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. Send Fredo to pick somebody up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want the stick.
Bob Seska.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
The Bob Seska Show.
Hey, look, what can I say? It's a dumb, dumb story. But I had to talk about it anyway, right? From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 13, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap in the universe. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 936 of the Trump crisis, day 100 days of the constitutional crisis, 448 days until the 2020 presidential election. And oh, look, sitting right over there, it's my good friend, Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, Bob. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, just please don't call me Fredo, okay? He's Bob. I'm Buzz. We're the party planners for Democracy's Going Away Party.
That's true.
We're the stable boys. We're the stable boys for the horsemen of the apocalypse.
That's true. I've got a business card that says that.
Our job to muck the stalls.
That's right.
And Bob, never mind. I know you've heard. Never mind all these conspiracy theories. I've solved the Epstein mystery.
Oh, good.
It was Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
Oh, I knew it. I predicted that going away. I thought that was going to be a
thing. I read that somewhere. And don't worry, Bob. If there are any serious irregularities in today's show, Bill Barr is going to get to the bottom of them. So we're covered.
Good. Good. Thank God he's on the case.
Hello. I'm Tom Bosley.
No, my biggest concern right now is we're just not seeing enough of Anthony Scaramucci. I need more.
Mooch. Right, bring it on.
Well, I'll wrap it up here and say that I think a little upset. I think people are being very unfair about Trump's changes to the Endangered Species Act.
Yeah.
I think it's just his way of telling the animals to go back where they came from.
Oh!
Don't worry.
Thank you, studio audience, the great Buzz Burbank. Buzz Burbank News and Comment, buzzburbank.com, realmnetwork.com is the best hour of news you're going to hear all week. And the very finest of monologue jokes here on the Tuesday show.
Here exclusively on the Bob Seska show.
That's right. Okay, my friend, this stupid fucking Chris Cuomo story is stupid. I just want to say that. I mean, there are things in which the world is collapsing around us. The Endangered Species Act is getting gutted. There are nuclear explosions in Russia all over the place. And we're all talking about Chris Cuomo and the nickname Fredo. I want to say right here at the outset, as you may or may not know, I am Italian, and I just don't give a rat's ass about the nickname Fredo. First of all, Italian isn't a race, so it's not racism. It's not even racism adjacent. Or maybe it is a little bit racism adjacent, but it's not.
Would it be a kind of xenophobia?
That is a little bit of it, but I think it's just more
It's a cultural bias. I mean, I think, don't people have... people have had false impressions or have gathered impressions from their own impressions of Italians, which is often associated with the type of movie you just played a clip from.
Right.
So each culture, even among white cultures, has been, the Irish get it for drinking.
Yeah.
There are these stereotypes that have been applied to all of these different cultures. So there's a cultural bias there. It certainly isn't racism. It certainly isn't, doesn't rise to that level of suffering.
I always thought the Fredo nickname just suggested stupid brother. This is the dumb, incompetent brother.
Right.
Almost like George W. Bush was kind of the Fredo of the Bush family. In fact, I think that was a nickname that we often used. Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr. Fredo.
I mean,
right?
He's the real Fredo. He's the only Fredo. Cuomo can't be the Fredo. Don Jr. is the Fredo. We've already established that.
How can he possibly be the Fredo? That other guy's the Fredo. On.
Well, you have to acknowledge it, and you have to laugh at it.
That's true.
Don't call me Fredo.
Right.
But you also have to move on. You're right. I mean, you're right to say that it's stupid. We would be wrong to give it much more attention than it's due.
Well, I think the main thing that should probably be discussed in this context is just this idea now that we're going around personally confronting people that we don't like in the news.
Oh, it's an angry world.
Yeah.
I mean, have you been out in a car recently?
I really try not to, Buzz, for this exact reason.
Exactly. No, I mean, it doesn't matter. Walking in or out of a grocery store, a million different places you encounter this anger, this me, especially, I remember... I noticed it more. I've lived all over the country, and I noticed it, I'm sorry, more in the D.C. area than in any other part of the country in which I've lived. And that is this sense by almost everyone that I am more important than you are.
Yeah.
And I am going forward regardless of what you do. And it's just that sort of mean, aggressive, angry, and then there's the anger, the national anger that so many people feel on the left and right. It's an angry world out there. It's documented that it's gotten angrier.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And the only thing that really, really kind of frightens me about that is, as I said, this idea that, well, if you're angry with someone, what you have to do is go up and interrupt their dinner at a restaurant and start making an ass of yourself and embarrassing and ruining the dinners of the entire restaurant and causing a big scene. And then suddenly Donald Trump is tweeting about it. It's all, to me, triggered by Donald Trump's public behavior. People are reflecting what the tone is that the president sets, right?
And his policies as well. I mean, his administration, Kellyanne Conway, can't go anywhere. Mitch McConnell, who could arguably be one of Trump's boys at this point, was virtually chased out of two restaurants over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, harassed out of the places and by customers, not the management.
Right.
In one case, I know a bartender followed Stephen Miller from the administration, had just purchased $80 worth of sushi. And he left the restaurant. He was walking down the street with his bags of sushi. And a bartender, pops out of the restaurant, out on the sidewalk where the customers won't be bothered.
Yeah, right.
And yells, "Hey, Steven." And Miller turns around and the bartender gives him a double pumper, gives him the finger with both hands. And that's, you know, a lot of this is, and, you know, the immigration thing has been very emotional for people. I'm not saying this is the right thing to do. I'm saying the administration that's so heavily harassed now, as they are, brought it on themselves.
Yes, they did.
Trump brought it on. Not just his public statements, as you mentioned, but the policies as well, the cruelty, the abject cruelty. I mean, just this week alone, and I sort of I'm borrowing this from something that Rachel started last night. Trump has gone after, in the last 48 hours, has gone after the Statue of Liberty and the American bald eagle, the symbol of this nation.
Jesus Christ.
The national bird. Apple pie and mom need to be warned.
And also, he's going
there next.
Right, right. I mean, Statue of Liberty, endangered species, my God. And what, last week, little children at the end of last week,
yes,
where we see video, this heartbreaking, just utterly soul-crushing video of this little girl in Mississippi who was stripped of her dad and just bawling in tears. And why is
this? An update.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's ethnic cleansing going on in this country.
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely. And by the way, an update on that little girl, the one nearly all of us saw crying about 10 days ago. We still haven't found her father. We don't know where he is.
Oh, my God. Oh,
latest update. Latest update just before the show said, no, nobody really knows where the guy is.
Yeah. This is an ethnic cleansing that is happening. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, the guy you were just talking about. Yeah, they are engaged in removing as many brown people from this country as they can. I assure you, they are not going after Germans, British, and Irish people who happen to overstay their visas. They are going after brown people in a targeted, very specific kind of way, making it seem like ethnic cleansing. And I swear to God, this is something that I feel like everyone who's involved with this, everyone who initiated this policy and carried it out, they need to be dragged in front of the Hague and prosecuted for crimes against humanity.
Or at the very least, their dinners need to be interrupted.
Yeah, I guess in that case, maybe so. So this is ethnic cleansing. And then the latest episode of this, the latest thing to come along that leaves us to believe that this is not about illegal, undocumented immigrants or migrants or whatever. This is about brown people, because yesterday, Donald Trump broadened this attack on the immigration system, creating this new rule that targets legal immigrants who want to remain inside the United States, but who don't have the financial resources necessarily to do so.
Right, right.
Which basically defines every immigrant that entered this country from the late 19th century on through. I don't know when they started to cut, but maybe it was the 1950s. But I mean, the immigration boom at the turn of the century, which has more or less defined the cultural representation of the United States, making this an incredibly unique nation in the history of the world. Because, I mean, one thing I always go to, Buzz, is when I'm thinking in these terms, I think in terms of the United States not being a nation that is demarcated by its ethnicity. You know, you go to Japan and it's all Japanese people. You go to China, it's all Chinese people. You go to Russia, it's all Russians, more or less. In the United States, we're just a variety of all different things. I mean, when we elected Barack Obama, we elected an ethnic minority, a racial minority to president of the United States. There are very few, if any, other nations in the history of the world who have actually done that because of the ethnic definitions of the boundaries of those nations. And so that really sets us apart as something, what I believe, something that can really underscore the idea of American exceptionalism. I mean, I know it's a right-wing thing to talk about American exceptionalism, but that is one of the things that actually truly does make us exceptional, our immigration system.
Absolutely.
In this country.
Of course. And I think most common sense people realize that. I how many common sense people are left, I'm not sure, but those who still have it, I think understand that. And this proves not only, Bob, that this is about brown people now, this proves it's been about brown people all along, as we suspected, as was charged. This is now revealed to be exactly what it had appeared to be.
Yep.
And this is the stone cold proof right here.
Mm-hmm.
It runs counter to everything. This new order, this new policy allows you can come into this country. Here's the deal. If you come into this country and you have enough money, if you've got $64,000 a year for a family of four, that's a good mark for you.
Yeah.
If you're younger as opposed to older, that's good. If you're healthier as opposed to sicker, that's good. Are you, basically the question is, are you a good breadwinner? Get this, you have to have health insurance now. I mean, that can be a criteria. The government can say, the U.S. government can say, no, sorry, friend, you don't have health insurance. We're not letting you in.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to arrive here with health insurance. How does that work exactly? So this allows immigration, legal immigration, to be cut to virtually zero at a time that brown people are headed, because now the brown people are headed here.
Yeah.
And, you know, the feeling is we have too many brown people already, which is why we're locking so many of them up and shipping so many of them out.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. I mean, on top of that, they need to have a credit score, for God's sake. I mean, how many people are entering the United States?
Yeah. A good credit score, yes.
Right, a good credit score, for God's sake. And the thing is about that, I mean, I could do a whole rant about the credit scoring agencies, the credit agencies, being private corporations that can just willy-nilly completely screw up your financial future just by one screw up. And if you've ever tried to deal with any of the financial reporting companies, the people who maintain your credit score, your credit record and all that, and there's a mistake, heaven forbid there's a mistake on your credit report, because good luck trying to get that mistake repaired. This is an unaccountable group of several private corporations who have no real linkage to the federal government. And now the federal government is using this kind of scoring to keep people out of the country for some reason, as if someone coming in from Cuba or Mexico, a whole lot of immigrants are coming into this country who don't even have a credit card, much less a credit score, for God's sake. I mean,
right.
You know, there are people
the point is to shut it down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, there are people who have significant means, who have some money, who are employable, who may not have a credit score because they haven't gone out and gotten a credit card yet. So again, I'm talking people inside the United States, much less people who are coming in as migrants or what have you. It just
Maybe that part will depend on how brown you are. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it does make it totally subjective, which means, and you know the subjectivity of this administration,
mm-hmm,
would be to deny those applications. And here's the other thing that order does that also deserves our attention. And that is that because legal immigrants can now be punished, denied green cards and visas, for taking advantage of public services to which they are entitled, food programs, housing programs, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
If they take advantage of those, they make themselves more subject to deportation, because that's a drain on the taxpayer.
Yeah.
That's the mantra there. And so what's happening now, the other side of this tragedy, is that families are either stopping or not starting to take advantage of these legal public services.
Yep.
Because they don't want to be deported and they're willing to starve if they have to stay here.
Or in the case of El Paso, you have people who don't want to get medical treatment after, you know, a mass shooting, because they're afraid that they're going to get reported to ICE and so on, and they're going to get deported out of here just because they want to get, the bullets removed from their arms and bodies and legs. And it's absolutely insane. This is the new cruelty in the United States. Welcome aboard, everybody.
It is. And again, also, it's also about the cruelty.
Yeah.
Toward, of all things, the beast and the children.
Right.
You know, kids in cages, animals no longer protected. Nixon freaking signed the Endangered Species Act.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come on, you know.
Yeah.
It saved the American bald eagle and a gazillion other creatures.
In fact, I posted a cartoon, political cartoon, by one of my favorite political cartoonists, Ed Hall, who drew a picture of, it was, of course, Eric Trump holding a dead exotic animal, and then the famous picture of Don Jr. holding the tail of an elephant that he just sawed off with a pocket knife like a goddamn sociopathic ghoul. And then a picture of Donald Trump holding a baby upside down, you know, because there was
that's his catch and kill.
Absolutely. And again, you know, we forget when suddenly stories like Fredo pop up in the news cycle. We forget that just a few days ago, Donald Trump was in El Paso holding a child who was orphaned when her parents were gunned down by a guy who was inspired by Donald Trump, and there he is using the baby that was orphaned because of that guy as a prop with his ridiculous Joker go with a smile grin and his stupid stubby little thumbs up thumb. I just, like, again, just completely tone deaf, has no clue, and then goes off on Joe Biden for being out of touch for some reason, as if that's at all valid, right?
Well, you know, this is not a news flash, but Donald Trump is a sociopath.
I forgot.
Yeah, and has no empathy. I have known a sociopath. I understand. I mean, I know what that's like. So
me too.
You know, I recognize the symptoms.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a PhD in psychology to be able to spot that once you've, you know, been exposed to it.
Right.
And so he has no compassion. He is incapable of compassion for anything or anyone other than himself.
Yep.
You know, so the trip was all about him. You know, why don't they like me more? You know, look how much they like me. This was what the trip was about for him.
Yeah.
When people were bleeding and burying, and I mean, in the midst of the funerals, he's talking about the turnout he got the last time he was in El Paso.
Yeah. And you know what? The last thing that I ever want to see is one of those doctors or nurses, after applauding and cheering and posing with Donald Trump, ever to have to operate or work on me ever. Because then I start to really seriously question their judgment as professionals. Because as professionals, as physicians who have to work on all varieties of human beings, especially in that part of Texas, should not be taking that kind of clearly partisan approach. I get he's the president, but he's a different kind of president. You know, there shouldn't be doctors somehow cheering for Donald Trump. It's just a giant disconnect for me. I don't know.
Yeah. I get it too, but recognize that was a small group of medical professionals.
Yeah.
And I suspect that those who were there because they support him politically.
Right.
Or because they just wanted to be in the picture with the president, and thought it might be of historical interest someday. It was really all about him and about him using. And yes, shame on the doctors for using those patients allowing patients to be used as props. Mm-hmm. I know many did refuse to meet with him.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned sociopaths just a second ago, and that leads us into Jeffrey Epstein and the suicide of Jeffrey Epstein. Depending on who you ask, it's suicide. And I know, I'm not going to get into all the conspiracy shit, because obviously this is just, fertile territory for bullshit. And instead of basing our analysis on the facts, it is like mostly this is has been all about for the last 48 hours or so. It's been all about, well, I heard some guy on the internet say something about Jeffrey Epstein, and so it must be true.
Tune into my news on Thursday, because here's where I am. Normally by this time, because I like to make sure I'm briefed and up to date on as much as I can be of major news by the time I appear on your show. I don't want to let you down. There's a great potential for that, and so I'm doing what I can to head that off.
Yeah.
So I try to get all the big stories covered in my writing for the Thursday show. Now, naturally, things evolve and change, and I go back and make revisions and move things around. And, you know, I mean, we're not married to this particular script, but it's you got to make some progress, or otherwise, the next thing you know, it's Thursday and you don't have a show.
That's right.
So I'm writing this summary of the news. And I get to the part about Jeffrey Epstein, and I just can't. I have now written around it. I've gone around it and written other stories farther down in the news. I do not yet know what I'm going to write. And, of course, there could be other developments, but I do not yet know what I'm going to write about this story, and I keep putting it off. Please take us wherever you're taking us.
Yeah, well, I do have some things to say about this, and these are important things. These are well-documented and reported things at this point, and enough to, I think, latch our brains around with regard to the unforgivable awfulness of Jeffrey Epstein and his entire empire, including all the people, right, left, Democrat, Republican, whatever, who are all in that Jeffrey Epstein inner circle. I'm going to get into all of that right after we talk about my favorite bug repellent on the entire planet. And you know, Buzz, it's weird to say, hey, Buzz, I've got a favorite bug repellent.
What's your favorite flavor?
Right. I mean, it's not something that people usually go around saying, hey, you know what my favorite bug repellent is? Here are my top five favorite bug repellents. Let's do a whole
bug repellent. Try one of mine.
That's right. Let me do a tweet thread about all of my favorite bugs. Now, you're never going to see that, but the fact is there is one bug repellent and one bug repellent alone that you should be using this summer. If you're tired of bug bites, you've come to the right spot. Of course, we're talking about Bugger Off Bug Bomb at buggeroffbomb.com. This bomb was created to swear off all the pesky mosquitoes that plague us every season and using all natural ingredients. Nothing with chemicals, nasty chemicals, no DEET in there. It's kind to humans and the environment. It's got a straightforward ingredients list, easy to travel with, and a little teeny tiny hockey puck shaped tin.
It's not just a bomb, it's the bomb.
It's the bomb, absolutely. It's made specifically for everyone, too. It contains two key ingredients for fighting pesky bugs and other creepy crawlies. We're talking about eucalyptus and citronella. It's also got non-GMO soybean oil, beeswax, thyme, rosemary, cedarwood, geranium, basil, and other essential oils. And by the way, this is one of the biggest selling points. This is one of the reasons why people are constantly emailing me. I'm getting calls from my mom. Everyone's asking me, when can I get more Bugger Off? Can you get me more Bugger Off Bomb? And I said, well, you got to go to buggeroffbomb.com, first of all. But I can see what I can do. The thing that they like most about it, Buzz, is it smells way better than any of those store-bought repellents. It smells clean and fresh, and it's not going to stain your clothing. Plus, bonus, no more skeeter bites. It's just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com, but you can use our promo code BOBC, get 15% off your order. Support this show by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug-free all summer long. By the way, you can not only use BOBC for 15% off, but you can also use the word sexy in all caps, sexy, because now Bugger Off Bomb is being advertised across the entire array of Sexy Liberal Podcast Network podcasts. So there you go. You're going to be hearing a lot about Bugger Off Bomb. But remember, you were here first. Again, it's Bugger Off Bomb, buggeroffbomb.com, or just click the link on the podcast page. Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Frangela, and we host The Final Word with Frangela and Idiot of the Week podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, you'll love our show, where every week we talk about real news, real funny. So come on over and listen to The Final Word with Frangela and find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
The Bob Seska Show. Seska Show.
Okay, this is Twisted Mojo and their cover of Jimi Hendrix's version of All Along the Watchtower. I got some emails about this one last week. We played this on the after party on Friday. So, Bob, why didn't you give credit to Bob Dylan? And I know I like to give credit to people named Bob.
Bob.
All right, Bob.
Bob.
But in this case, Buzz, I thought this was the more of the Jimi Hendrix arrangement of the song. So I thought...
I see.
I thought that I'd give Jimi Hendrix the credit. But
well, and, you know, no disrespect to Bob Dylan, but really Jimi Hendrix, I think, made it far more famous.
Yes, he did.
Than Dylan ever did.
I know. He absolutely did, and so that's why That's why I give credit to Jimi Hendrix. But this is a great version of the song. We got a link in the description if you want to follow all of the show dates and so on for Twisted Mojo. Just one brief note. I'm getting a lot of emails through bobsesca.com/music of from people who say, hey, I've got this great band and they're in my town playing shows. Why don't you use them on the show? Well, that doesn't quite work because I need to get permission from the actual band itself. So if you know of a band and you say, well, I want to get them some more exposure for what it's worth, go to them and say, look, band, go to bobsesca.com/music and submit your music there. And that's the best way for it to work. So thank you to all of our amazing independent recording artists for supplying us with the best music around, the greatest songs you've never heard before. How about that?
And just a couple of weeks away from your new music show.
Okay. So we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein here and Jeffrey Epstein's suicide in prison. A couple stories that popped out to me with regard to the Epstein saga. First of all, this former Epstein pal wrote an op-ed in the New York Times. I think it was published today or yesterday. And he said that Epstein told him, bragged about all of the very famous, very powerful people that Epstein has associated with in his inner circle. And of course, I have to mention the fact that the guy who wrote the op-ed, his name is James Stewart.
Merry Christmas!
So I have to do that. I can't get past the idea that his name is Jimmy Stewart.
Merry Christmas!
Wait just a minute.
That's actually maybe the first impression that I've ever heard you do, Buzz.
Was that an impression? I don't know.
It was really good. It was a good Jimmy Stewart impression.
I think it was the deep fake audio.
Maybe. Yeah, right. So Jimmy Stewart reports in the New York Times. This is kind of a big takeaway here. It said the overriding impression I took away from our roughly 90-minute conversation was that Mr. Epstein knew an astonishing number of rich, famous, and powerful people and had photos to prove it. He also claimed to know a great deal about these people, some of it potentially damaging or embarrassing, including details about their supposed sexual proclivities and recreational drug use. Boy, I hope we get more elaboration on that, because God knows we need to hear about Elon Musk's sexual proclivities. Thank you.
Well, there would be a propensity for a guy like that to exaggerate the number of people, but when he talks about, when he allegedly spoke about having something on many of these people, that's probably very true. And in some ways, I mean, we've talked about this, I know you and I both have, on social media. It may be easier. There are signs, it will be easier to get hold of evidence and records than it would have been if Epstein were still alive. It's the big crime here. The worst part of this, of course, is that the victims have been denied their opportunity to face him in court.
Right.
And, something they have a right to, something that gives many of them a sense of closure. And they've been denied that. He's slipped out of this just as he's slipped out of so many other prosecutions. But the cases, the investigation continues. Here's what you got to remember. Here's the encouraging thing I think about this case is Epstein was charged with conspiracy.
Yeah.
You can't have a conspiracy unless more than one person is involved.
Bingo.
And so there's every reason for this investigation to go forward with co-conspirators, and indications are it will. Now, to what degree it'll get monkeyed with, or I don't know. You know, I just know the investigation goes forward.
Right. Well, we are hearing about, as I said, Elon Musk is mentioned all over this op-ed. So is Mohammed bin Salman, who's the very fine person in Saudi Arabia who is responsible for the death of the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. It also says here in this piece by Jimmy Stewart,
Merry Christmas!
That a few weeks after this meeting, he asked me to join him for dinner with author Michael Wolff. And remember Fire and Fury, that book? Michael Wolff. And Donald J. Trump's former advisor, Steve Bannon.
Merry Christmas!
Literally, Merry Christmas. Steve Bannon is named in Epstein's inner circle. Of course, this guy, Jimmy Stewart, declined. I don't know if these dinners actually happened. Mr. Bannon has said he didn't attend. Mr. Wolf and a spokesman for Woody Allen didn't respond to requests for comment on Monday. So Woody Allen is looped into all of this in some respect.
Maybe not. I mean, it's hard to say. But obviously, this gives the FBI a list of interviewees.
Right. And I think the overall point is not necessarily the specific names that we're hearing dropped left and right. I know Bill Richardson's name was dropped last week. It's
a lot of big people. Yeah.
Yeah. I think going back to what you were saying with the victims confronting the perpetrators in court, I think obviously because there's more than just Jeffrey Epstein who's victimizing these young girls, that many of the victims will perhaps have a day in court where they can confront some of the other conspirators. And I think that will at least, there'll be at least some sort of partial closure in all of this for them, while they may not be able to confront the kingpin in all of this, which is Epstein himself. They may be able to confront some of these other perpetrators. And so in that respect, there is going to be some sort of closure for all of these victims who had to
stand by.
I can't even imagine the horrible, horrible ordeal they had to endure.
Of course. But stand by also for British police to find and arrest Epstein's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The woman who served for a while anyway, and then who served as his madam, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And procurer of young women, along with others who face possible charges as well. So a lot of people are involved, clearly. Clearly some big names are involved. And as you and I have both said before, let the chips fall where they may. If someone was having sex with underage girls or boys, but in this case, obviously girls, then they should be punished for it.
And, you know, there is this other side to the story, which is one of a little bit of schadenfreude. And that is the fact that I think Jeffrey Epstein was staring down the barrel at a lifetime in prison, in which a prison is not very conducive to people who are child rapists.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, he was going to have a very rough time in federal lockup.
Yeah, I know that from my own visits to prisons for a series of reports that I did with another guy.
Sure. Reports in quotes, right? Wink, wink.
Yes,
no,
right.
I'm joking.
I've been to a women's prison. We went to many, many prisons and talked to prisoners and learned sort of a little bit about the culture. And that is absolutely true. That if you those men have daughters and wives and girlfriends and mothers, and they don't take well to rapists. They especially don't take well to child molesters. And court documents had just been dropped really the same day, essentially, that Epstein committed suicide. Just hours before that, court documents were made public that made a whole series of new lurid charges. I think he knew he was screwed. He knew he was going to spend his life. And it's also been said that correctional facility in Manhattan is worse, according to a guy who's been in both, worse than Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Much worse.
Yeah,
much,
they calling much it a,
worse.
Calling it a gulag, aren't they?
Roaches crawl over you while you sleep, and the prison administration says they can't do anything about it because they'd be using toxins to kill the roaches. It's a horrible, horrible place.
Yeah, it always seems to me with prison that the idea of being sentenced to prison, whatever the term happens to be, the idea is that you're removed from society and you're
isolation.
Put in this place where isolation. You're taken out of society for a while to serve time for the crime that you committed. There's not something in the Constitution or anywhere else that says, all right, once you're there, you have to be shivved and tortured and all the rest of it. I mean, that shouldn't be part of the equation. You're just The prison sentence is to take you away from society because you cannot operate adequately under the laws of society. So that's the point of it. But, you know, right. So you hear about these places that are just nightmarish to be in. And it seems to me as if, yeah, it's easy to say, well, they're all fucking criminals, so they deserve all of the hardship in prison. But it's not what it's supposed to be about. And it's just like a little bit of my bleeding heart side with regard to all of that. But there was a
right. And we're not shedding any tears for Jeffrey Epstein.
No, make that very, very clear. No.
We agree. I agree with those who say the world is better off without him.
Oh, yeah.
Not for the victims. The victims were cheated here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the biggest crime underway at the moment.
Yeah, in fact,
the good news is the investigation continues.
To be perfectly honest with you, when this story first broke, when the Jeffrey Epstein story first broke and we started to hear some of the nightmarish things that he was responsible for, I remember standing in my living room and I turned to Kimberly Johnson and I said, he's got to kill himself. And I said that out loud. I said, you know what? The only solution to this is that Jeffrey Epstein needs to quote Dennis Miller of all people, he needs to step into the pitch and take one for the team. He needs to off himself because the horrors of the crime he committed, the crimes that he committed, seems to me as if just from my gut point of view, no punishment can satisfy the extremism of the crimes he committed. So seems to me as if,
life in prison, especially a facility of that sort. That's pretty close, I would say.
Right. Well, I was just going to say, added to the schadenfreude too, apparently the story from CBS this morning actually said there was shouting and shrieking coming from Jeffrey Epstein's cell the morning of his death, according to CBS.
Which has given rise to new conspiracy theories that the shrieking came from Epstein as he was being murdered.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, by Colonel Mustard with the rope, I guess. I don't know. But that stuff continues. I did read an interesting fact that I threw out here, not to support any argument one way or another, but I do know that of the prisoners on suicide watch, 8% of the prisoners who are on suicide watch with the cameras and the 15-minute checks and all that, 8% of those prisoners commit suicide. So, you know, it happens, and obviously we're learning a lot about this case. One of them wasn't qualified. They didn't look in for hours. Was that whose fault is that? That's what the investigation will be all about.
Exactly. And as far as I'm concerned, too, the only conspiracy that I'm really focused on outside of the one that Jeffrey Epstein was indicted and imprisoned for is the conspiracy that is kind of happening in plain view. And that involves Bill Barr.
I knew you were going there, and you're right.
Yeah, because obviously, whatever investigation Bill Barr is involved in is going to have an agenda, number one, and it's going to be shoddy, and it's going to help Donald Trump. It is going to protect Donald Trump, because that's why Bill Barr was installed in that office, to protect Donald Trump. And that's the thing we need to keep aware of constantly when it comes to this story.
Fortunately, there are various levels and layers of investigative agencies involved. And while Barr controls many of them, he doesn't control all of them.
Yeah.
There are even, there's even the coroner hired by the attorney, by I think Epstein's attorneys.
Yeah.
To oversee the official autopsy. There are a lot of people watching this from multiple directions, but even at the local level. And I don't know if Barr can, if he can stop the truth, but it's certainly something we need to watch.
Yeah, well, he was able to derail Mueller. I think he was able to derail the SDNY investigation, and this is all just the power that he possesses in that role as just nothing more than a PR flack, as a
summary
fixer, for Donald Trump.
We'll get a summary.
Yeah, exactly right. We'll get a three paragraph summary of the entire sordid conspiracy, and just to prove that
wrong.
Yeah, that Donald Trump had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. In fact, that video that we saw of him doing the white man's overbite dance and everything, that repulsive video with the eyebrows, it was all deepfakes. Clearly deepfakes. I'm expecting that at any moment to come down.
Yeah.
I mean, already
welcome to the age. I never thought we would live to in quotes, see this day. And that is when you can't trust your eyes anymore.
Now,
the world is completely upside down because nobody will ever trust anything again.
Yeah, exactly. And we're also talking about a lot of guys who also, on top of everything else, exaggerate to puff up their level of importance, their status among all of these rich assholes. And one of the things that Jeffrey Epstein apparently claimed, and this is a story from last month, but I thought I'd loop this into our conversation here. According to New York Times, Jeffrey Epstein bragged that he introduced Melania Trump to Donald Trump, which is in and of itself probably harmless. But I think it's worth also maybe examining from an investigatory point of view. A little bit more about that, because I always wonder this too, and maybe this is where I get a little conspiratorial. This is where I really start to maybe fall off the rails.
Oh, now it's okay.
Yeah, now it's all right. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, Melania's introduction to Trump has always been shrouded in a bit of mystery, and I wonder if Melania Trump maybe was a victim of human trafficking of some sort. And I don't know. I'm just asking. I'm just asking a question.
I don't know. You know, she lived on the floor below Trump and his previous wife.
Yes.
For a while. There was some interesting overlap there.
Right, right.
So they knew each other while he was still married, I would presume.
Well, I mean, I think it's a valid question, given that Epstein is a notorious human trafficker. And so if he's saying, hey, look, I know this woman named Melania. She's Eastern European. Hey, how about this guy, Donald Trump, this creepy, doughy weirdo who dances like a goddamn asshole? Why don't you hook up with him? Oh, sure. Be best, Jeffrey Epstein.
Be best.
Okay. So just something maybe to mull over, but this is not some sort of weird conspiracy theory website that brought up this story. This is, of course, the New York Times, and I'm reading it from a republished a piece in Talking Points Memo, which is usually very much on the level. So, but meanwhile, right. Donald Trump is, of course, trying to make this all about the Clintons, and he's being very explicit about that. Did that this morning as he was going out to Marine One. He did it on Twitter the other day by retweeting some comedian. And of course, this is exactly what they do, because they do this with everything. You know, it's that the Clintons are the real colluders. The Clintons are the ones who were collaborating with Russia.
And his base, as limited as it is, eats that up. That's what they love hearing that. They love, you know, the rank and file Trump supporters. They just eat that up with a spoon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they absolutely do. Okay, you know, we're going to take a quick break here, last break, and then we'll come back. And we got to talk about another Chernobyl in goddamn Russia. Oh, my God. Sleep tight, America. Back after these words.
Hey, dude, being at the racetrack is a blast. High five.
Whoa, man, you can put your arm down now.
What, you gonna leave me hanging? Come on, bring it in for a hug.
That's okay, man. We're cool.
What's the matter? We're all buds, man.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I think you need to take a pit stop.
What? I'm not driving a race car, man.
No, pit stop. It's, an all-natural deodorant that'll keep your pits from, being the pits.
Oh, no. My pits are the pits.
Hey, don't worry, man. Luckily, my pals over at Bubble Genius have you covered. They've created all-natural stuff to help with summer stank. Everything from pit stop deodorant to cooling facial mist to talc-free body powders that leave you soft, not sweaty.
Hey, cool.
You said it. Bubble Genius keeps you cool all summer long.
BubbleGenius.com!
Bob Seska!
Another song by St. Marlboro. I can make a long list. It's called Fry. Fry. One word, Fry. F-R-Y. Link in the description. I love this. I love this band. Second song we played here on the show by St. Marlboro. And that's for a reason. Very good reason.
Pleasantly haunting.
Yes, that's what I love about it. I love how it's got that throwback sound, throwback production values. Makes you think it's kind of a throwback day with Jimi Hendrix cover and these guys. Okay, so right on the heels of us watching Chernobyl, there was an apparent nuclear accident in Russia with a very strange in-development nuclear missile, form of a cruise missile, and one of these things exploded and spread radioactive materials and all kinds of radioisotopes all over the countryside, and now people nearby are being told to take iodine and all the rest of it, the same usual drill that we saw with Chernobyl. But this was the Russian nuclear agency Rosatom, and they were developing a cruise missile that is powered by nuclear propulsion. Which is unusual, and it's something that we tried apparently back in the 1960s. We tried it about the middle 60s, and what the technology was supposed to do was this cruise missile was supposed to hover over a population center, not actually crash land into it, exploding, and so on. What it's supposed to do is hover, and it could hover indefinitely because of the nuclear fuel constantly providing it with propulsion and hover capability. And then
it could duck and dodge U.S. missiles until the U.S. ran out of missiles because it's the Energizer Bunny of missiles.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, in a bad way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so what it would do is it would drop actual nuclear missiles down onto the population center indefinitely while also dumping nuclear waste out of that nuclear engine that's making the cruise missile go.
It leaves that trail of nuclear waste from its launch point all the way to its destination. So all of the places beneath it then are exposed to this dangerous radiation. This is a crazy weapon. We abandoned this in the 1960s, because it was so dangerous, see above explosion, and because it was just too cruel. They couldn't imagine killing all the people that a missile passed over to get to its intended target.
Yeah, it was psychotic. We just if you just drop a missile onto a city, I mean, in a bizarre, disgusting, perverted way, you're destroying the city and killing everybody in there. But at the same time, it's quick. This would be an ongoing nuclear disaster that would just extend indefinitely as long as the powers that be wanted it to extend. And so in that sense, whoever came up with this idea initially was just absolutely psychotic. And they said, well, you know what? This is just madness. We can't actually do this. And so we canceled the program. Russia, for some reason, is now in the process of 50 years later trying to develop it themselves.
Gee, Bob, do you think it has anything to do with just a few days prior the president pulling the U.S. out of the nuclear arms deal?
Maybe a teeny tiny bit. Actually, a whole lot has to do with that.
Call me crazy, but it's an interesting timing to be sure.
Well, and then speaking of Donald Trump, the other day he tweeted something to the effect of, well, you know what? We have one of these ourselves. And the technology is way better.
It's better. Yeah, it's better.
It's better. Yeah, it's better because the technology was canceled in 1964 and it doesn't exist and he's making it up in his head. So, of course, it's better because Donald Trump's saying it's better, even though...
When, in fact, it doesn't exist at all.
That's right.
He made all of this up. Because that's what bullies do. They bluff and they...
Yep.
You know the drill.
Oh, I know the drill. And, you know, this is a weird thing. I'm not bragging. I don't want to brag about this. But sometime around the elections, maybe even before the election, I forecasted that during the first term of the Donald Trump administration, we might actually see a mushroom cloud. And that was either in the context of a nuclear test. I made sure to clarify what I was talking about is not necessarily an attack, although that was a possibility and still is. But there's also, the idea of a nuclear test and seeing an above ground nuclear test take place, complete with a mushroom cloud and all the rest of it. What I didn't predict is that maybe we'd see a mushroom cloud because of some munitions accident. And the thing that we were talking about with this bizarre Rosatom-developed missile in Russia, that was August 8th. But on August 5th, 3 days before that, there was an actual, I don't know if you've seen the video, Buzz, but it's shocking to look at. There was an explosion, and it was in the form of what can only be defined as a mushroom cloud with a shockwave that is something out of a movie where you, or out of film that you saw from the 1950s and 60s of all these above ground nuclear tests.
Right.
Where the shockwave pushes, it pushes the clouds in the sky away. And it is just, it was staggering till I saw that. And, you know, it's one of those things that is just absolutely chilling, especially for those of us who grew up during the Cold War, and to see an explosion like that. And of course, we don't know whether or not it was propelled by some sort of nuclear fuel, some sort of fission explosion, that we don't know that yet. But it just, the way it looked and then followed up 3 days later by an actual nuclear explosion, you have to wonder, are these things related in some way? Are there different test sites where they're being worked on?
I think there have to be. You know, these may have been two separate tests of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But yes, both had these qualities. Now, for what it's worth, I'm reading that the radiation exposure, the seriousness of the accident here, it does not even approach what happened at Chernobyl.
That's true.
Really a miniature version of that. That doesn't make the weapons any less dangerous or terrifying. And because there is no treaty right now, because there's no diplomatic effort right now to stop the development of these weapons, insufficient pressure being applied if necessary to stop these development, the development of these weapons. If that doesn't happen, we're in a very dangerous place. It's a very dangerous game, but it's possible that without a treaty, maybe accidents that kill Putin's top five nuclear scientists will slow down and perhaps ultimately dissuade the program. The hope is, and this is a bizarre way to hope for your own survival, the hope is that Putin will conclude what the U.S. concluded, that this is just crazy, and not pursue it.
Yeah, and I hope somehow these protests are going to weaken Vladimir Putin, though I'm not getting happy about that either. I don't know that they will. He's certainly faced these sorts of things before and crushed them like he normally does, as any strong man would do. But I wanted to add that mushroom cloud I was just talking about, that explosion ended up having to force an evacuation of 16,500 people from their homes. And so that to me indicates something that was not an isolated explosion, that may have some form of fallout that would spread to the surrounding areas. So that may have been, that mushroom cloud video may actually be a nuclear explosion. And if you actually look at the, I'm on Bloomberg right now and I'm looking at a photograph of it. The scale is frightening. The scale of that explosion compared to the city in the foreground, the mountains in the foreground, and the people in the foreground. It looks like what you think it is. It looks exactly like that. And it's terrifying. And all I can go back to is go back to, Buzz, you were raised in the era of duck and cover. I was raised in the era of The Day After, that horrifying movie in, 1980. About nuclear war, and you see things like this and it just chills you to the bone.
I'm actually younger than Duck and Cover.
It's something that so many of us have had to contend with as being an ongoing sort of hovering fear, creating this low level stress, this low frequency stress that we all experience. And when I saw Donald Trump's rise to power and his instability and his irrational behavior and his impulsive behavior, I thought, this is not going to turn out well.
You made specific predictions, which, damn you, have proven true.
Yeah.
I didn't think a lot of this could really happen. That I couldn't. I found it hard to believe that it would be allowed to happen. I always believed what you saw, that he had it in his heart.
Yeah.
I just didn't think he'd get away with it. Well, it's somewhat disheartening to see that your predictions were not overly dire, or at least had not been exaggerated.
Yeah.
And, I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm certainly not. I've said all along, I've always added the caveat every time I mention that, is that I hope I'm wrong about the entirety of the Donald Trump thing. And I don't think I am, but I hope that I am.
And you got to hold on to hope. Hey, how about this for some good news?
Okay.
Depending on a couple of court rulings, televised impeachment hearings could begin in mid-September. That's a month away. This may be TV's best new fall season ever.
Indeed. Holy shit, that'll be great. That'll be absolutely wonderful to watch. And of course, all of the breaking news will occur about 2 minutes after we finish our shows. But I mean, that's sure. That's but a little, have small on, price to pay.
Then I'll have it on Thursday. And so will you.
That's right. All right, well, we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the Endangered Species Act coming up on the Postmortem Show. Speaking of predictions and where we're going with the Trump crisis, I'm going to talk briefly about Andrew Sullivan's piece in New York Magazine. And you say what you will about Andrew Sullivan, this particular piece is a standalone thing. Take off the byline. Don't worry about the baggage from Andrew Sullivan. Just read the piece and it'll blow your mind. Maybe not always in the best way, but it ends on a fairly up note. So we're going to talk about that coming up on the Postmortem Show. Meanwhile, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. It's the best hour of news you're going to get all damn week. And you can find everything at buzzburbank.com, realmnetwork.com also, and wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the rest of it. Bear in mind that Apple Podcasts has changed the way it categorizes all the shows. So the best way to find your favorite shows on Apple Podcasts is either to use Siri on your phone. Just say, Siri, play me the Buzz Burbank News and Comment Show. That's not what it's called. But I mean, you have whatever variation.
It'll find you. Yeah,
exactly. And so you can do that, or you can just go to your Apple Podcasts app and search for Buzz Burbank News and Comment, the Bob Seska Show, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, the Realm Network, all the rest of it. That's as easy as it comes. So make sure to do that. Meanwhile, the Postmortem Show can be found on our Patreon page. That is BobSeskaShow.com, also Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or the all caps Patreon link beneath my face at BobSeska.com. All right, that's the show. Postmortem coming up next. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.